As we come to the close of our evening together and our worship of the King, I'd like to just share a few thoughts from the Christmas story with us. I promise those of you sitting back there in the kid and parent corner, I won't be long. But, as we rehearsed the gospel this morning and surveyed the Christmas story at large, I intentionally left a little part out. I didn't focus much on the gifts that the kings brought. I'd like to actually direct our thoughts this evening towards this worshipful response from these men. We often think there were three of them because they brought three gifts. There may or may not have been. But what we know is some wise men, magi, seers from some place in the east. That would be east of a place we consider to be east. Somewhere in the ancient Near East section of the world, came. They'd seen a star, and they took that to be a sign that the Savior promised in the Old Testament. The Messiah, the great King of Israel, had been born, and they came seeking him. And when they found him, they presented these gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And whether or not they intended for those gifts to be covered with or just drenched in symbolic meaning as to who this child was or not, I don't know. The scriptures don't tell us. There's a lot I don't know. But whether they realized it or not, those gifts were very fitting symbols of that child. No longer at the manger, no longer without a room. They come to a house. They've stayed. Months have passed. And they see this young boy, and they fall down. And they worship him, and they present to him three gifts, the first of which is gold. Gold. Gold is the gift fit for a king. It's what enslaved nations bring as tribute. It's what allied nations bring when a new king is coronated as a gift. It's what, well, in the States, we say Uncle Sam requires of its patrons. It's what we owe people in authority, because they're in authority over us. It's a gift fit for a king, and it's a reminder to us that that little babe was indeed that promised king, that one who would sit on David's throne. And although he didn't occupy that throne the first time he tread this earth, if we read on in our Bibles, we understand the next time he comes, he doesn't come meek and mild. He comes as the roaring lion of Judah. I do this every year. But he comes. He comes having already crushed the head of the serpent to rule and to reign with a rod of iron. That he is the king that every one of us in this room, either willfully or unwillfully, will bow before and confess. As the choir sang for us, as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So they came bearing gifts fit for a king, but they also came bearing spices, one of which was frankincense. Frankincense is used the world over in religious settings to be burnt. If we were in a more liturgical church than the one we are, you might even see it being burnt in a service like this. It was used, it was part of the spices, the incense that was burnt in the Old Testament. It gives off a pungent aroma, and it points us to the worship of God, reminding us that this baby lying in the manger some 2,000 years ago wasn't just a man, wasn't just an earthly king. He was the divine and sovereign ruler of the universe. He is the creator. He is the one who forms us and who demands, doesn't ask for, but demands, expects our worship, and it is due him. That he is God of very God, that he is God eternal, that there has never been a time when he was not, and there will never be a time when he ceases to exist. That he is sovereign, that he is in control of everything, that there's not a mite of dust floating through some galaxy far, far away that isn't doing that according to his sovereign will. He is a God that I do not have words to understand or to explain to you. And he is the God who stepped into time as Emmanuel, God with us. So they came bearing gifts fit for a king. gift recognizing his divine sovereignty. The last gift is myrrh, another fragrant spice. And it is a spice for those in the Middle East especially that marks death. It is the spice they use in embalming. It is the spice that Jews would have wrapped a person in if they could afford it to cover up the stench of a decaying body. It was a spice that was used in the wrapping clothes that Jesus was wrapped up in when he was laid in the tomb. And it's a fragrant reminder to us that that little baby would grow up to be a man, that he would never, ever sin, that he would never in the slightest way do anything that violated the character of God, that failed to keep the entire law and all of the expectations and standards of God in any way, and yet he went as that perfect lamb, as that only person to ever trod the surface of this globe and never sin, and he took and laid down his life. Jesus says in John, nobody takes it away from me. I lay it down of my own free will. And he goes to the cross of Calvary and lays down his life for the payment of our sin. The grave couldn't hold him. Wrap him in spices all you want. He's not staying there. He burst victorious from the grave 3 days later. And now he's ascended back to the right hand of the Father. And he's promised that he is coming again. And he'll take all who believe in him to be with him in heaven forever. And all of those who oppose him, he will crush. Because he is the Davidic King who will reign for all of eternity on God's throne. Not David's, but God's throne in Jerusalem. He is our King. He is our God. And he is our gracious Messiah. And I hope this Christmas season your heart is full. As a preacher, a herald of God's word, there are three things that I really wish I could impose upon you. If I die and you've gotten these three things, I will die a happy man. The first is the absolute wretchedness of our sin. That just how incredibly corrupt from start to finish we are as sinners. How much God hates it. How contrary to his nature our sin is. And therefore we understand the depths of his love, the grandeur of what it was for the Word to become flesh and dwell among us, to die the death that we deserved, and to accomplish the salvation for all who will believe. I hope you believe. I hope your faith, your hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. And if your hope is somewhere else, the exhortation, the expectation of the Scriptures is very simple. That you simply turn from your sin, recognizing you can do nothing about it, and trust in Christ, because he's taking care of it for you on the cross of Calvary. And these kings, whether they knew it or not, prophesied what this man would be. And we worship him still 2,000 years later. The music team's going to come and lead us in a closing song, one of my favorite Christmas heralds, or Christmas songs. It rehearses for us these truths that we've talked about.